Today on Family Talk.
You are tuned to Family Talk, part of the new Dobson Family Institute. In 2010, our ministry began with the familiar voice of best-selling author and psychologist Dr. James Dobson. This year, we started the Dobson Family Institute to more effectively strengthen and support marriages and families. We achieved this through these radio programs, also our public policy center, educational partnerships, and the Dobson Digital Library. Visit DobsonFamilyInstitute.org to learn more about the direction of our ministry. Today on the broadcast, we'll continue a conversation Dr. Dobson began yesterday with David Pickup. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist who provides counseling for people struggling with same-sex attraction. During part one of this conversation with Dr. Dobson, David Pickup disputed many false assumptions about his therapy. He also explained how he discovers the origins of these feelings with each individual patient. On today's program, David discusses the hope he offers his patients and the deterioration of the family system. Let's listen now to part two of his conversation with Dr. James Dobson right here on Family Talk.
Well, David, it's great to have you here again today. You were with us last time. I think that's the best program on the subject of homosexuality, same-sex attraction. We didn't talk much about lesbianism, but that's out there too. And I think what we did yesterday will be very, very helpful and encouraging to family members, especially moms and dads, who take a look at their kids and say, I see trends here that are bothering me.
Yes, thank you.
What hope and help can you offer to them when their greatest fear is that they will wander over into a homosexual lifestyle?
Boy, have I got something to tell parents. If you, this will sound cliche, but if you will simply know how to attach and love your children and to ensure that they will attach to you emotionally, you will probably circumvent all these problems. Because homosexuality, even transgenderism, is ultimately a major emotional disattachment issue. And it usually starts very young. Sometimes it escapes people because they think they're doing good things. And in part, they probably are. Okay, this is not about blaming. It's about naming what's really going on. So if they will attach to their children, have a real, authentic, eye-to-eye, affectionate, in your space, in your face, constructive, disciplined, but loving relationship with their kids. In other words, authentic. And that ensures kids from going into these issues more than anything else,
and it
barring
begins
sexual abuse.
With attachment to mother.
Yes, it does.
You know, I love attachment theory. It explains so much about the human personality. I tried to write about it in Bringing Up Boys and Bringing Up Girls, and that is deeply ingrained in my understanding of the human personality.
Me as well.
You know, when a little boy comes into the world, his first attachment is to his mom. Dad is important. They love their dads. But it's mother that matters. And 25 years later, on a battlefield, when that little boy gets wounded, if he does, and he's dying, he's lying there, what's the one thing he says? Always one thing he says is mother.
Yeah.
That attachment is for life.
Very deep.
But there is also the need for that mother to let go. And, and let that boy become a man. And to do that, he has to reattach to his father.
That's
and
right.
Then take on his characteristics and his understanding of how men think.
That's really true.
And you know, what I'm giving you right now is what you and I both believe. And these are the thoughts of Joseph Nicolosi.
Correct.
He had a great influence on me. He was a psychologist who wrote, he's now passed on, but he had a big influence on you too, didn't he?
Absolutely. I trained with him for 3 years along with my other colleagues. It was the finest training for actually any issue that I've gotten, but especially for homosexual issues. The man knew exactly what the truth was and researched it, and he wrote a magnificent book. Sometimes we call it the Bible, Reparative Therapy. And in fact, what we're starting next year are training courses. So therapists, Christian or non, can learn how to do this therapy because the real thing really works.
Now, what you were describing yesterday is an expression of the love and the emotional release that comes from getting rid of shame and beginning to see yourself as a man. And we're talking about primarily about men now.
That's right.
Most of the people you work with are men, aren't they?
That's true. Probably 95% of my clients are boys and men, but I do have a few girls, young women. And
it's a whole different
issue,
though, isn't it?
Well, it's similar in some ways about attachment theory, but they, of course, don't attach in their identities, usually, with maleness and take that extra step that boys do towards dads for male identity, obviously. So they stay with the mom in terms of identity, but mother issues and attachment theory are still essential to their growth. And when that's upset, there's trauma issues there. So, yeah, that's below there. And unfortunately, in lesbianism, there's more sexual abuse involved.
And yes, and Nicolosi put the emphasis on mother letting go between 18 months of age and 5 years of age.
She has to.
A mother has to let go, and it's the hardest thing for her to do.
And you know what? I've got a point about that, Dr. Dobson. The way to talk to mothers, you asked for help with parents earlier. One of the major ways to talk to mothers, or for mothers to realize, one of the reasons why it's so hard for them to let go of their sons is because, to some extent, they're getting some of their needs fulfilled. Okay, I get that. But when they don't let their sons go, their sons end up having some major issues, as we've talked about. So how they can reframe it is, I'm giving my boy, even though I'm feeling some pain, I'm giving my boy one of the greatest acts of love a mother can ever give her own son by letting him go. And that's agape, and that's an example of real love.
It's so difficult to do because it feels like rejection.
Yes.
It feels like she's losing him.
Exactly.
But the truth of the matter is you want him to be a man. You don't want him to be a woman. You want him to be a man.
That's right. I tell people this all the time. Just the other day I said this. If you will let your son go, in the healthy sense we're talking about it, your relationship will end up being closer and more healthy than you ever knew before, because we're talking about the way people are created to be in this world. And that's why that works.
And it works for a boy, too, when he begins to make that adjustment and that reattachment. Let me say to the fathers who are out there, if you have a boy that's not very masculine, he doesn't play football, he doesn't play baseball, he tends to be more sensitive and just he's not aggressive, don't you dare make fun of that boy. You take him just like he is.
Absolutely.
You love him right where he is.
Absolutely.
And pull him toward you and let him be who he is.
That's
We're
right.
not all the same.
That's
you know?
Right. I can't tell you how many clients, boys, men, they've grown up and are growing up, and they look at me, and I can just tell, look in their eyes, that they actually say things like this. They are aching for the arms of their fathers. Now, I'm not bad-mouthing fathers. I'm just saying, folks, somewhere we're missing the boat, and we've got to get on board and really treat our kids like they need to be loved, not necessarily in just the only ways that we think they need to be loved.
Well, let me ask you as a therapist, one of the things Dr. Nicolosi said was that when you see that your son, we'll say, has a sexual identity crisis, he really is thinking of himself more as a girl than as a boy, and you're really, something's going on there that bothers you.
That's true.
And
generally, that's
in
true.
The past, both mothers and fathers have been told they'll grow out of this.
Hmm.
Well, they probably won't. The personality you see there is going to continue to be expressed, but it
especially
might
in the
be
world
a
today.
Real good time for therapy from somebody like you who begins to help them understand who they are as a boy.
That's true. And here's a sign, I might suggest, where you can tell that something needs to be done. Over a long period of time, the relationship doesn't gel. Every kid has problems with his fathers and his mothers. Don't get me wrong. We're not talking about extreme viewpoints here. But if it's a long period of time, if there's an automatic reticence or a defensive detachment, as Nicolosi said, towards dad, then if that lasts, if there's not an emotionally corrective experience, parents can do a little therapy for themselves alone so they can learn what really works, or they can bring the whole family in, or the kid only, if that's what needs to be done. And we work with them to establish, reestablish, and maintain the attachment.
Do you work with younger kids like this?
I do. Usually when they're below 10, I mean, it's a little bit of a nebulous, but basically...
Judgment call,
thank you. But when they're below 10, I usually only work with the parents, because kids have not much mental capacity to reason when they're that young. And so emotional experiences are really primary at that point. So we teach parents how to connect in ways that they didn't realize before, are much more emotionally connective. And in fact, it's funny. Some of the kids, when they come in and they're all into, no shame, but nevertheless, they're more into femininity and they carry dolls around. But long story short, by the time we're finished, the kid traipses after dad and starts holding his things like holding his hand, and the dolls just literally automatically kind of drop off.
Yeah.
And that identifying attachment process is happening. So in some cases, we'll work
fishing
just with the
together
parents.
Is a great activity.
It is. And it is, because any kind of sport is, but you don't want to pigeonhole somebody into a sport. You want to make sure that you're having an authentic emotional connection. If you're fishing and landing a marlin or catching a catfish, or if you're doing a touchdown on the ball field or golf or chess or arranging flowers even. It doesn't matter. It matters what happens between father and son.
When they begin to pick up what it means to be a man.
Exactly.
And you can't teach that. You've got to model it.
Exactly.
And it comes from being in touch with somebody that loves you who is masculine.
Exactly.
This is Family Talk, a radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and I quickly want to remind you here that we are supported by listeners just like you. In fact, we survive on your generosity and willingness to assist our ministry. Call 877-732-6825 or visit us online at drjamesdobson.org to find out how you can stand with us. Again, that's 877-732-6825 or go to drjamesdobson.org. Okay, let's return now to the conclusion of today's broadcast here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Let's switch over now to a lesbian perspective. How is that different, and how is the origin of it different?
Well, lesbianism is still, and I'm speaking in generalities right now, but because it can get rather complicated, like all these issues, but lesbianism is an attachment issue, but usually with the mother in those first few months and first year or so, where there's something going on. Sometimes it's various reasons. Sometimes there's postpartum depression and the bond isn't formed well. Sometimes mothers pass away. Sometimes mothers have their own major issues. Sometimes there's other problems with not being affirmed by other little girls, that kind of thing. So it's some of the same attachment issues. But then there's also another factor, which unfortunately there is more sexual abuse of little girls by older boys, or in fact men, that turns them off towards men from the very early years. And then sometimes strange things happened within a girl's psyche. They will what's called identify with the aggressor. And they will, the theory is that they will take on manly qualities automatically, and it's all seen in the light of an unconscious defense mechanism, so that they will be, quote, strong enough in case this sexual abuse happens again. And that starts to change their purview of identity issues. And so, again, if they turn out to be, and we're talking about the more masculine experience for some lesbians in this case, but they'll objectify femininity because they've taken on more of maleness. That's not the only issue, but that's one of the main issues that goes on with some lesbianism.
What concerns me is what's taking place on university campuses, especially with women's baseball, women's soccer. There's often a situation where nearly everybody on the team is lesbian.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
And then if you want to be one of the group, you've got to make the same noises.
That's right. And also, I don't have any research on this, but it seems to be true that women's sexuality tends to be a little bit more fluid because, we think, the sexual experience to women is more about romance and relationship, where with men it's a little bit more about just sex, the physical thing. So it tends to be more fluid between women and women partners and men partners with lesbianism. It's not true in every case, but it tends to be that. So that's a little bit of a difference as well.
And we're talking to David Pickup. He is a marriage, family, and child licensed therapist. And I want to ask you a personal question.
Sure.
We're talking about highly controversial stuff here today.
We sure are.
And we were yesterday. People get very exercised now over this subject, and especially LGBT people and those that think we hate them, or at least they tell everybody they think we hate them, and they see boogeymen all over the place in everything that we do and everything you and I have talked about for 2 days. How much hatred has been thrown at you?
I have been threatened of my life once, and through the internet, I've been castigated with some of the most obscene language you could ever think of many times. I don't consider myself at this point a persecuted individual because I'm ready for that. And I know what that's all about. That's part of being a therapist too.
Yeah.
And also a lobbyist. I know what's going to come. And that also, that belief system also ultimately rests on my personal faith. But I expect that there's going to be a lot more. And if people need help with how to handle the vociferousness, criticism that they're going to get, I can help them with that too. There's not just therapy for that. There's what do you do about it for that.
Yeah.
So it can be pretty wild, but it's okay. Also, I get a lot of prank calls. I get a lot of late night calls. Not a lot, but I get several calls, sometimes late at night, just 2 days ago, guys who are calling me and they're joking around saying they need help to become straight and they want to do it. And you can just tell that they're gay activists that are feeling like they need to reach out to me and point out how horrible or how hateful the whole therapy thing is. And most of them I just don't answer, of course.
And you feel that this is a calling?
Yes. I decided about 12, 13 years ago that I realized this was probably a calling. And the day I decided that, I'd left a major airline, I'd worked for many years. And the day I decided that, to take on the, go back to school, take on the student loans, go through the training and all this stuff. The day I decided that, it was as though everything fell into place.
Hmm.
The funds, the plans, the school, the program, everything fell into place. And every year, I tell this to one of my colleagues often, I feel like God is behind this. It's not that I force God onto people, but since you're asking me right now, I'll tell you personally, I think God is in all of this. And so, yes, it's my calling. It's my life's calling. I can't imagine doing anything else with my life right now. I get to sit there and watch people heal through these issues, and it's a marvelous experience. It's really tough. It's really tough to see kids and adults go through these horrific issues, but in the end, they win, and they yeah. become these authentic people and adults, and it's just beautiful.
That must give you a great deal of satisfaction.
I'm thrilled right now, as I say it.
The kid comes empty to you, and he absolutely despises himself. Mm-hmm. He hates himself. He feels like a woman in a man's body. And he thinks nobody cares and nobody loves me. My parents don't understand me. They are really afraid of me. And God doesn't even love me. How could he when I do the things I do? And to see him come through an understanding of what's going on in his life and beginning to accept himself and believe in himself and establish a relationship with the Lord and live a Christian life and begin to think of men as being different than women. And he's a man, and a woman was designed for him. That must be very, very satisfying to you.
It truly is. Some clients are so busy for many years getting a lot of that male need fulfillment. They don't necessarily, I certainly don't tell them they have to get married or have to go towards women, but some are already married and some want marriage. And those are the kind of experiences that they eventually experience. And they hear from me and my colleagues nonstop that this authentic nature, this feeling, which involves their faith too in many cases, it feels great. And they feel happy. What people are hearing from LGBT activists is you're going to commit suicide and you're going to be depressed and anxious. And it's the exact opposite. The kind of experience you've just described beautifully is what happens to my clients.
Let's talk in conclusion on this second day directly to the man who has an attraction to the same sex. And he's gone through everything I just described and that you affirmed. And he has no idea what to do about it. If he goes to the wrong therapist, he's going to make it worse.
True.
He needs to go to somebody who understands the biblical concept that I consider it biblical, to what you have described in these 2 days. And he has to find somebody who has a willingness to work with him through that's painful, sometimes long process to be whole again.
Yes, and both me and my colleagues, if they'll just reach out, we can help them. So one of the things they can do is go to davidpickuplmft.com and just reach out. I can tell them who might be in their area that are truly trained experts. I can work with them myself. I can give them huge amounts of resources of the kinds of things they can do in their own personal lives. Also parents, by the way. We eventually want to start parents groups to help parents more proactively with these issues. There's so much information if they would just reach out. And I can give them even more websites and books to at least begin their journey. So to reach out, to contact me and my colleagues is really the thing that they can do to really find out what's really possible.
Let me end by asking you the toughest question and one that I don't have an answer for, and I doubt if you do too. I'm talking to the grandparents who are deeply committed to Christ, and they've seen their children mishandling their boys and girls, especially boys, who have sexual identity crises, and they have no idea how to help because there's such anger associated with that. And many of today's millennial parents don't see a problem with the homosexuality and even the expression of it. What in the world do you say to those folks?
Well, at the risk of sounding like an egomaniac, I do have an answer, and the answer is relationship. I have some clients, it happens maybe once a month, because these situations are also a part of real life. And it is rougher, sure, the answers are not nearly as immediate as one might hope for. However, I do know this, if we're correct that this is an attachment issue and that issues tend to, not guaranteed, but tend to automatically resolve if there's an attachment, close-knit relationship, then it just makes sense, which is what I advise grandparents and parents to do, is just love your children.
Oh, it's a beautiful answer.
Just establish the relationship.
Beautiful answer.
And maybe someday they will begin to see something better.
And in the meantime, you pray like crazy.
Absolutely. Goes without saying.
Without ceasing.
Exactly.
David Pickup, therapist and friend, I just met you today. I've heard good things about you, and I see why. And I appreciate you being here. Let's stay in touch, can we?
You bet. I'm honored to be here. I'm so glad to know you.
You've been listening to Family Talk in a 2-day conversation Dr. James Dobson had with therapist David Pickup. You can learn about his practice as a marriage and family therapist by visiting the broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. You can also read David's insightful blog on this subject of same-sex attraction while you're there as well. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org, and then go to today's broadcast page. As we wrap up today's program, did you know that Family Talk is on Amazon Alexa? Through this easy and hands-free device, you can keep up and listen to our latest interviews. Simply enable our skill through your Amazon account and then say, "Alexa, play today's broadcast of Family Talk." It's so simple to do. Go to drjamesdobson.org/Alexa to learn how to access Family Talk on your device. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for an exclusive interview you'll only hear here on Family Talk. It's a conversation featuring Dr. Tim Clinton and quarterback Kirk Cousins and his dad, Don Cousins. You won't want to miss what they have to say coming up next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.